Radio announcements for today. Our radio sponsor is Dee Hess in honor of Chloe's 9th birthday. We would like to welcome everyone of our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church here at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. We have Vacation Bible School here at Trinity. We're partnering with First United Methodist Church for a fantastic scuba VBS, Diving into Friendship with God. Ms. Taylor Barkus is asking for those who can pre-register by calling the church at 812-486-5130. Please join us on July 20th for our next community meal. We offer fun and fellowship and a hot meal. All are welcome. It is from 5 to 7 p.m. here at Trinity at 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. And we will also host July's Unity Service on July 21st from 6 to 8 here at Trinity. Reverend Daniel Christensen is bringing the word, and his beautiful wife Betsy will be leading the Tabernacle's worship team. We will have fun time of prayer over our city. Food and fellowship will follow the service. Our birthdays today are Mike Nelson on July 8th, anniversary Randy and Susan Shipley on July 9th, birthday Chris Smallwood July 10th, James and Karen Higdon anniversary July 12th, Marilyn Kendall, happy birthday July 14th, Kenny and Rhonda Paffenberger will have an anniversary also on July 14th. And our prayer buddies this week is the Smallwood family.
Make sure that we get that sign-up sheet from the nursery over to these two beautiful women.
Now we'll have scripture followed by the sermon, Grace in the Midst of Limited Resources, which will be delivered by Pastor Angel Armstrong. Our scripture today is 2 Corinthians 8, 7 through 15, and it is on page 1146 of your pew Bible if you want to follow along there. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you always excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here in my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it might be matched by your completeness of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. All at present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality, as it is written. He who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. My preaching professor taught me that within the first few minutes of the sermon, the congregation should basically know how I wish them to respond to the message. That's not always abundantly clear with me because I get babbling. So I'm going to make it super clear this time. Our song of response is called The Offering. I am talking about grace giving. I am not only talking about financial giving, although, beloved, this church is in financial crisis, and we do need your financial gift. Without it, there's a possibility of having to go to a half-time pastor. Don't get startled. Don't get frightened. Our God provides, always has, always will. But we are part of that provision. I want you to offer all of yourselves to God. Your first fruits, your time, your talents, your presence in this church, and your prayers. So here it is, to make it abundantly clear. Grab you a piece of paper, and sometime during the sermon or during our song of response, write down what you are willing to offer of yourself to God. Because offering of yourself is sacrifice. Because it stands the chance of not being received exactly in the way that you gave it. Passing around that sign-up sheet for volunteering in the nursery, that is giving of yourself. Showing up to a service that is a little bit different than what you're used to, the Unity service, that is getting outside of yourself. Donating to our pantries so that the needs of the community, like the first church in Acts, can be taken care of. That is giving of yourself. The cards that Greg writes and sends out. I love it. Used to be that Jennifer and Jane did it. But look, our Lord provided. He raised up another who loves doing a card ministry and loves praying for people. The man walks every morning to help keep up his fitness and his health. And as he does so, he prays. So you write down sometime through this message or during the song, the offering, what you are willing to offer God. Fold it up so nobody can see it and put it in the offering plate. And Karen, if you would, take all those pieces of paper and dump them into my top drawer where nobody sees them but me, and I will pray over them. The reading that we just heard from 2 Corinthians 8, 7 through 15 does talk about giving. Most ministers walk a very fine line when it comes to talking about giving. We walk a fine line because there are people out in the world that think all the church wants from us is money. And that is so not true, especially not in this church. This church is family. We want your presence. We do need your financial gifts to keep us going. We, as the rest of society, are struggling with economic hardship. But we also want you to grow abundantly through your grace giving. And grace giving means the vows that we took when we joined this church. Your presence, your prayer, your gifts, your monetary gifts, your gifts of cookies and desserts, your gifts of your time and your talents, your spiritual gifts, and most importantly, beloved, your prayers. There is no greater gift than your prayers for one another. For me as your pastor, I don't care if you like me or not, like the president, you might not like him. I'm going to keep my mouth shut because I've never gotten into politics in this pulpit. But I am called to pray for the leadership in our country. Whether you like me as pastor or not, you need to pray for me because this is where I am right now, and this is how our church is going to grow. And you already do a stupendous job about praying for one another. In order to counter culture and encourage others, other believers in Corinth, Paul challenged them to increase in their generosity. Paul used the church of Macedonia as an example. You see, people thought that Paul was challenging them to give because he was going to use their gift for his own personal gain. And he wasn't. So he used the church in Macedonia as an example. The people of Macedonia were very poor, mainly because the occupying government, the Romans, took up all the natural resources, all the financial resources for themselves. But the people of Macedonia realized the importance of getting the gospel message out. So they gave of themselves not only to their church, but to the special collections that Paul was taking up for the other churches in the area. There are several aspects to grace giving, beloved. First, grace giving is systematic, meaning the whole. It reveals our heart. It is systematic because it requires our mind, our heart, our will. And if we put our will, our pocketbook will follow. Grace giving is sincere. It reflects the believer's love for God because God should be first and foremost in our life. And beloved, everything we have, starting with our life, is on loan from God. I have said since my children were born that each and every one of them was a precious loan from God, sent to me, for me to stewardship over that life. In other words, for me to raise them up, for me to teach them, to make them become productive members of society, and for them to teach me, to so fill them with love that they have confidence in this world. When my son died, on his tombstone, I have placed, loaned to me, October 18, 1983. On July 25th, God reclaimed his loan. And I so thoroughly believe that it helped me through my grieving process. Beloved, giving of ourselves, giving of our time, giving of our resources would not be difficult for a one of us if we truly believed in the depth of our spirit man that everything we have, our homes, our cars, our food, our very lives, came from God above and is loaned to us. And we must show gratitude and appreciation, and we live healthier lives, physically, mentally, spiritually, when we thank God for things. My mentor told me, angels, thank God for anything he does for you. Thank him for everything you have. Then he looked at me and he said, at least thank him for everything you want to keep. I don't know about that. At the end of the service, you will put something in the offering plate that you are offering to God. I'm not going to open them, but I am going to pray over them. Nobody's going to see it. You're the only one that knows what you are offering to our Lord. Our motto at Spirit 23, the devotion that Mark does, and at Trinity Helping Hands, is serving God through serving others. And that's what Christ calls us to do, to give a cup of cold water, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to visit those in prison. And this church is doing all of the above. And I can't help but believe that our God will indeed bless us. That wonderful grant that we got from the city, that was a blessing. The way that this city pours into the food pantry and the clothing pantry is God's affirmation that yes, indeed, he wants us to be a Matthew 25 church, that we are being his hands and feet. Giving to God's work must be voluntarily. And by the way, Scripture calls to do it cheerfully. And I'm probably putting my foot in my mouth here. But if you can't do it cheerfully, don't do it, because it won't be blessed. Reminds me of a funny story that I heard. Preacher got up there and he said, as we pass the offering plate today, I'm going to ask that whoever it was that stole the chickens out of Brother Martin's hen house refrain from giving because our Lord doesn't want the money of a thief. And they passed that offering plate around. And lo and behold, for the first time, everybody in that church gave. Apparently, they didn't want to be thought of as a thief. We learned last week with the book of Ecclesiastes, with time, with the wisdom of Solomon, that you can have everything. A beautiful palace, gold and silver goblets, the finest clothes, the most intricate jewelry. How many wives and concubines? 800 and 300. And none of it will satisfy you. Not a single bit of it will satisfy you. The only thing that will truly satisfy you is our Lord God. And living the way He wants us to live. Matter of fact, I would love to hear testimonies. If you guys have them, tell me. And I'll make sure you get up here and say it. Testimonies of you living the way God wants you to live and how your life has been blessed. Whether that's through tithing. Whether that's through witnessing. Whether that is through making sure that the gospel gets into a foreign country, or whether that's feeding the poor and needy. If you have those testimonies, this is the time to let me know about it, because we've got a few more sermons on grace. I told you that I ran into a pilot on our mission trip. Boy stood this high. He was 21 years old. Had a brain tumor. He had learned the precious art of gratitude and of thanking God for everything. He had to take a 4-hour MRI every year so that he could continue to keep his pilot's license. And he told me the most hysterical story. He told me that he helped give rides at the state fair. And there had been this couple that came every year for about 5 years, Stumpy and Martha. And Stumpy and Martha always argued because, you see, Stumpy was fascinated with that little bitty plane and he wanted to ride in it. And it was only $10, he told Martha. And Martha said, $10 is $10. So every year, Stumpy went home without his ride. Then 1 year, he looked at Martha and said, Martha, I'm 81 years old. I have provided for you all of our lives. I have taken good care of our children. I'm riding in that plane. This pilot's overhearing it. He's listened to them argue for 5 years now. He says, you two shut up. I'll tell you what. If you promise to be quiet on the ride, I will give you a ride. If you don't say a word, I'll give you a ride for free. If you open your mouth, it'll be $10 for each of you. Well, they thought that was a pretty good idea, so they got the plane. The pilot took them up there. He did loop-de-loops. He went straight into the bank. He did every trick he knew, and then he did it all over again. And he thought to himself, it's awful quiet back there. I can't believe those two aren't fussing and feuding at each other. So as he starts landing the plane, he says behind him, I can't believe it. You guys managed to stay quiet. And Stumpy says, well, I thought about hollering out when Martha flew out the plane. But like she always says, $10 is $10. One thing us as Americans understand is the value of money. It has become our idol. It has become our identity. How much we have, this beloved should not be. One thing that us Americans don't quite grasp, at least not all the time, At least, although I know it through and through, I have trouble living it out. It is the value of placing God first in our lives, from everything, from the tithing. God told us, test me in this. Open the storehouse, tithe, and I will show you that there will be blessings. Has anybody received those blessings through tithing? I know I have. It took me a long time to learn how to do it. But I proved that statement from God. Putting God first in our lives is so much more important than any kind of giving that we can have. It requires a mental change of mind. It requires that we be willing to stop what we're doing and help another human being. It requires something I'm not so good at, patience. It requires us being patient with others. It requires us walking alongside of others. I have told you, beloved, time and time again, that this church has what we need in today's society. We are steeped in the Word. We love people. We accept them in here and we walk beside them as the Holy Spirit does the heavy lifting and the changing. God will indeed hold us accountable for all that He gives to us. He's not going to say, Angel, what did Beth do with everything that I gave to her? He's going to say, Angel, what did you do with what I placed in your hands? And we're accountable for that. We're accountable for all the good blessings He has given us. We're accountable for how we treat other human beings. You might not like them. Not even going to go into what I think of the country's leadership, but I'm required to pray for them. I'm required to come alongside of other people. Paul says in the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians, being free to share with others who are in need. Jesus was rich because He chose to be poor. Our Lord came from heaven, the richest of the rich in every way possible. He came wrapped as flesh in the most humble, helpless way possible. As an infant, He gave up all of that willingly. As we will soon celebrate the gift of Holy Communion, He gave all of that up. He laid down His body for us. His blood poured out of His side. And beloved, I just love this. 700 years before Christ was crucified, Isaiah told us that His body would not be broken. You see, when they crucified somebody, they wanted to make them hurry up and die so they could go and celebrate the Passover and have fun. So they went along and smashed their legs so that they couldn't rise up and breathe. But not Jesus Christ. Scripture foretold that His body would not be broken. His side was pierced, and from it flowed blood and water that baptized the Roman soldier who fell upon his knees and cried out, surely this is the Messiah. He gave His all for us. Can we not thank Him for the things that we have in our life? Can we not put Him first in everything that we do? Is it not His property that we are managing to begin with? God tells us that in this world, we will have the privilege of knowing exactly one person's full story, our own. I don't know Rhonda's full story, although I would like to visit with you and learn more about it. I don't know Brenda's full story, and as much as I know PJ's story, I don't know everything about her. I am accountable for my story, for my life, for my giving, for the way I treat others. And that is the business that I should stick to. Some of us will discover in our lifetime we are called to accumulate wealth. The Bible tells us to. First and foremost, so that we can provide for our family and our children. Most of us here in this congregation, maybe not so much Taylor, maybe not Tony Ann and Tom, they're still providing for their children. Most of us have already done that. Everything that we have left is surplus. And here's the second reason. He tells us to work hard and accumulate wealth so that we can give to others in need. And they can give to us while we're in need. That's what the Acts Church was all about. They made sure that there wasn't any person who was left without. God tells us to close the gap in our behavior between our thinking. Between our heart, we worship, we sing the goodness of God, and our entire heart goes out to God, and we mean every word we say. But do we walk the walk? Do we actually live it out? I know all of you sincerely try. I know I fall short constantly. My baby girl's favorite verse is Romans 6:23, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short. We all need forgiveness. One of the reasons that we have such a precious reminder of Him. You know, people love going to foreign countries and looking at the foreign currency there. In Canada, that money's really pretty. I mean, it's got 4, 5, 6, 7 different colors depending on which bill it is. And it's got a big piece of silver in it. And you can hold it up to the light and see through it. And the coins are really cool. They got a $2 coin. They got a $3 coin. It is awesome. And when I give it to my baby girl, she gives me back more in Canadian money than I gave her in American money. And I can spend that money while I'm there. But you know what? It doesn't do me the slightest bit of good when I get back here. Doesn't help me at all. The same as when we go to heaven. All we have accumulated here. All we are so proud of. All we have worked so hard for. Doesn't go with us. Ain't no U-Haul following any hearse anytime ever. The gift that He blessed us with. We are accountable. And He'll ask us, what did you do with all that I gave you? And there's such a thing as a scarcity principle, folks. This is a hard, hard, hard one. I learned it early on in recovery. The harder I hold tight to things, the less I have. When I open my hands and release it and give it to God, He multiplies it. And that's what He calls us to do in every way possible and in the hardest way possible. We're about to listen to a song of response. I need you to take a piece of paper and write down what you are offering up of yourself to God and then live it out. Risk it.